Thanks for listening to the Adam Carolla Show on Podcast One.
We got news. We got sports. It's all coming your way. First, I'll tell you about JB Weld. Oh, love me some JB Weld. Got some DIY projects to get through. Want to save money. Want to avoid paying the repairman. Big or small repairs, home or garage. Ordinary household glue. Well, it's ordinary. It's got the word ordinary in it. You need strong. You need better. You need JB Weld. We're proud to have JB Weld as a sponsor. They're great. The owner's great. Guys have been around for 50 years, hung out with these guys at the SEMA, like I said, in their booth. It's proudly made in the U.S. of A. And you keep JB Weld in your toolbox, your kitchen drawer, your craft room. And it's good for metal, wood, plastic, and more. Don't glue it. JB Weld it. It's available at jbweld.com, Home Depot, Lowe's, AutoZone, Advance Auto Parts, O'Reilly, Walmart, Amazon, Michaels, and more. Don't glue it. JB Weld it.
Give me the news with Grad. News with Gino Grad. Breaking viral. All those crazy Trump tweets. Give me news with Gino Grad. Trouble in the Middle East. Celebrity drunk meltdowns. Need news with Gino Grad.
The news with Gino Grad.
So the city of Louisville has reached a settlement with Breonna Taylor's family in its wrongful death suit. And just to give you how quickly this number came out, earlier this morning, it was a number yet to be publicized. And as of right now, they have given the number that is a $12 million wrongful death settlement and policing reforms, including policing reforms are also involved. According to sources close to Breonna's family, this is from TMZ, Louisville's metro government will pay $12 million and implement multiple reforms regarding law enforcement, including a requirement that commanders approve all search warrants before they go to a judge. And just to remind you of this case, Taylor was 26. She's an EMT. She was shot and killed by Louisville Metro police officers on March 13th while they were executing a no-knock warrant. I believe this, her boyfriend was sleeping next to her, grabbed a gun, thought it was an intruder, and there was a bit of a shootout.
Yeah, it's a case that has some nuance to it because people are like, she's become a cause celeb and rightfully so. But there is nuance. Like, there's stuff going on in this case that people don't know, which is this isn't a great example of like racist police. This is more like kind of bad police or maybe even bad judges or something because the cops get a warrant. And the warrant, so the nuts and the bolts of the case, as I've heard it, is she dated a guy who I think was a drug dealer at some point, and then
they're looking for an ex.
And then they broke it off. And they're looking for the ex. Now, they didn't find any money or any drugs or anything in her unit. But there's some credible stuff that stuff came and went from the unit at some point. Earlier in the month or the year, whatever it is. So they get this no-knock warrant, which I guess people... the problem with all of this stuff is people don't realize how much gray area there is. Like, if you think there's a drug dealer and they're in a unit and the drug dealer may be armed... then if you knock on the door, then the drug dealer may have an opportunity to get up, pick up their gun, and be prepared for when you come through the door or just shoot through the door. I'm speaking generically. So it's like no-knock warrants, good or bad. But I don't know. There's an argument for both sides. There's an argument for not just busting in and seeing people laying in their underpants. And then there's an argument for any movie you've ever seen where it's like they knock on the door and the drug dealers all start getting armed and getting ready and getting whatever. So they have this no-knock warrant. There's some account where they knocked. And I don't know what that's... some stories are they knocked anyway. But anyway, they get this no-knock warrant. They come in through the front door. The boyfriend shoots at the people coming through the front door because he doesn't know who they are, I guess. He's assuming these are bad guys who have busted into this apartment. The boyfriend shoots, I guess the lead guy, the guy who did the shooting, he gets shot in the leg by the boyfriend, and then they just return fire. And of course, they don't hit the guy, they hit her. But this isn't a example of like white cops shooting black people in a traditional way, like in a, you know, these racist cops, whatever. They get a warrant, they go in, they get shot at, they return fire, she's tragically dead. It's tragic. She deserves a settlement. It's not as much a cut and dry, like cause celeb piece as some of the other sort of white cop, black victim cases are, but that's as much as I've heard about it. Thoughts?
Well, and I think at this point, in terms of those cops, one's been let go and two have been reassigned is where we are with them.
It's also unclear to me who issues the warrant. Like, the cops are executing the warrant, but the warrant's got to come from a judge, right? I mean, the cops don't get to make their own warrant. The cops can, I guess, request a warrant.
Well, that's part of the reform. It says including a requirement that commanders approve all search warrants before they go to a judge. So somehow, and I don't have enough knowledge of how that works, they think that that would be very helpful.
Did the boyfriend get hit, Max Zapata, or did they literally just shoot the person who was not firing at them in the dark, presumably? I don't know. This one is really messy, but it does fall under the heading of bad and sloppy police work and a little less in the racist cop, you know, into that category. It's a little more in the, I don't know, it's kind of what we always talk about. Like, people are more incompetent than they are racist or bad. They're just like, this is incompetent police stuff. On the other hand, I don't know, you get a warrant, you bust into an apartment and bullets start coming your direction and you get hit. Like, what else, then how else is this going to work? I think the plan is, for all this stuff, the de-escalation plan is the plan. Like, don't kick open the door, whatever, midnight, and expect shit not to go wrong. I don't know. Sit out front, sit in a bakery truck, go in deep cover, wait till they get up and walk out of the front, and then just detain them and then go search the apartment. You know what I mean? Like, what do we need to kick the door open for?
Seems like a less risky proposition.
Yes. Mm-hmm. We do way, way too much of that. What time did they do that, Max Zapata?
Let me look at that. But
I'm sure you and Garagos have covered this to some extent, but I'll be interested to see what his take is on the settlement, because my guess is that's, you know, they being the police department or whatever, paid that out so as not to pay out a larger sum. That's my guess, but I don't know.
I'm seeing that the boyfriend was not shot, and it was shortly after midnight.
The guy shooting at you doesn't get hit. The person that's not shooting at you in bed gets hit, and you get hit by the boyfriend.
Was the boyfriend who returned fire or opened fire? Was he the suspected drug dealer?
No.
Or did she just happen to have another boyfriend with guns?
Yes.
Wow.
There's a little, her story's not as squeaky clean as we kind of have to do it now, because that's the world we're living in. But yes, he was just the new boyfriend with the gun. I don't know if it's a bad neighborhood. I don't know what he's worried about. There's more to the story. It doesn't really, it's counter a little to the narrative. So you're not really going to hear that much about it. It's not a conspiracy thing. It's just everything is kind of nuanced. You know what I mean? Like, when they do this stuff where it's like, there was a little more, it was a little more than just wrong place at the wrong time. Although that was a lot of it. But there's some other elements here and lessons to learn.
Yeah, so the guy that they're investigating dated Brianna 2 years prior, and then they continued to have a, quote, passive friendship.
And the new guy was just a dude with a gun, I guess. And he shot, I think, the lead guy in the leg. I think that was
he hit the first one.
Was the key. All right. Well, I don't know. Why don't we just wait till the sun comes up? I feel the same way. Like when I was watching here's one of the big, here's a big subject, or a subject needs to be done. I was watching, was it Roger Stone, when like the SWAT team converged on Roger Stone's house? It was like 3 a.m, the dog's barking. There's like 25 SWAT guys with long rifles and stuff. This guy's an old crazy kook. Let's just tell his lawyer, hey, bring your guy in. Just bring him downtown. Like Mark tells me, Garagos tells me all the time. You tell Mark Garagos, hey, Chris Brown needs to come in. And he brings him in. That's how it works. Like, you don't have to rappel onto the roof of his house and pull him out of his house at 4 a.m. There's no need for like this show of force. You just do it in a more nuanced way. Like, okay, maybe you think there's guns. Maybe you think there's drugs. Maybe you think there's cash in that unit. Fine. Then surveil it. When they come outside in the morning and go to work, walk up to them, put zip ties on them, tell them to sit down on the curb, and then go in with your warrant and search the unit.
Well, your example of why you have the no-knock warrant, you know, you don't give the guy a chance, for example, to arm himself, I think is the same. I don't know the details of the Roger Stone thing, but I assume they do that so he doesn't have a chance to, if they were to reach out to his lawyer, that's plenty of hours to destroy documents or hard drives or whatever. I would assume that you'd be a fool to, you know, mail it or to telegraph it like that.
Well, right? not according to Mark. Mark's like, or Lori Loughlin. Forget about Stone. Lori Loughlin. Didn't they just tell her to turn herself in?
Yeah.
They don't need 25 SWAT guys to go get Roger Stone or Lori Loughlin.
Well, but and also,
if you want to destroy all your shit, then destroy all your shit. Like, you know, his lawyer and he knows this day is coming. Like, do it. Right. Do it over the course of months. Like, just destroy it from Jump Street.
Well, and like, you know, talking about, this is why they have no-knock warrants, so somebody doesn't arm themselves and shots aren't exchanged. Well, how well did that work out in this case?
Not well.
That's exactly what happened.
The 12 million, if you would talk to Mark about this, it's that number is much higher than he normally gets for innocent working folk being killed. I mean, it's like $300,000. Normally, that number probably has to do with the media that surrounded this, that is pumped it up.
Case.
High profile, yes.
And speaking real quick of, I wasn't going to include this, but I think it makes sense just because now it is getting national attention. Speaking of high profile, as of last night,
someone's
it was on national
up,
news.
Someone's backing up by Brian's house. Is that your house?
All right.
Whose house?
Oh, that
is
could
that?
Be me.
Could
that
be.
That could be me. You know where
I'll turn my mic off. See if it goes
hold
away.
On.
It's funny. Brian's got a window there, so I'm looking at.
Oh, no, that's definitely me. The studio's in the back of the house.
Me.
Sorry.
All right. Not your fault. It's the man's fault. We shouldn't have that on the back of everything.
It is the man's fault. Two officers. Oh, my God. Now they're like in my driveway. Two officers got shot in Compton sitting in their patrol car the other night. And this is such a crazy story because there's surveillance of a guy running up to the window, shooting off, you know, whatever he had in his gun, running off. It hit the woman police officer like in the jaw, like in the face. And her partner was very, very badly wounded as well. With her jaw bleeding and face mangled, she crawled to her partner, put a tourniquet on him, called it in, all this stuff where you couldn't even understand her because of where she got shot. They're now in stable condition at the hospital, and they're still looking for the one guy. They also say that guy, he may not have had, he may have acted alone. You know, it's just, it's very weird.
The story's insane.
Yeah, and it's like, she's like 31-year-old Hispanic.
31-year-old mom.
Hispanic lady. Got the 6-year-old. Like, I don't know. Is this really what we're talking about with our war on cops?
The academy. Yeah.
Yeah. Listen, you keep putting it out there that cops are trying to execute you and cops are your enemy and cops are, you know, you got a target on your back if you're of this group or that group. And yeah, more cops are going to get shot in the face. Like, why wouldn't that be the natural reaction to all our talk about how evil and systemically racist cops are? Why wouldn't more of this happen? I'd be completely surprised if it didn't happen more and more often, because we just keep pushing this narrative out, the cops are evil and they're racist. So, okay, go shoot a cop. Makes sense to me. Sad. And it's also sad.
Don't isolate that drop.
Also sad when he, and the mom and the shot. It's all such a waste and it's so senseless. And look, there's a lot of wasted, it's like a lot. I do, as someone who has this sort of obsession with efficiency, I do sit around and just marvel at the insane waste. Like, just shoot the person. Then the person's got to get rushed into surgery. The scariest part of this whole thing is they were trying to get these two rushed into the emergency room, and a group had, like, surrounded the emergency room, and they were like, don't let them in. Like, let them die. Like, there was a group who had gathered in front of the emergency room who did not want the ambulance to be able to let them into the hospital, which is now, we're now in crazy cuckoo zone. We're crossing into bizarro land where the lady cop and her 24-year-old partner get shot in the face. And then a group gathers at the hospital and is like, let them die. Like, don't let them in. Jesus, goddamn. We're crossing into uncharted, bizarro, evil world land stuff now where groups of people are at the fucking hospital. Ugh. All right. We got to move out of L.A., people. We got to go to Utah.
You're already there, buddy.
Yeah, that's
stay
true.
Stay in Nashville.
I'm telling you, man. Sides. How good was that drive to Nissan, Maxipat? How clean were the sides of those freeways?
I noticed that. It was a beautiful drive.
Bucolic.
Yeah.
All right. I don't know. Did you guys hear that story that people had gathered up at the emergency room?
Yeah, I saw the video that I don't know if it was taken by Josie Huang or whoever the non-credentialed or credentialed reporter that got arrested. It was like, by that point, it was like five dudes. Two of them had flags. They were just staring at the guys, staring at the cops, you know, the security guards yelling at them. I mean, I guess that's a group, but it was like five dudes just
being
assholes.
What
from
flag?
The video that was posted on Twitter.
Oh, I didn't see it. I just heard it. What flag? What flags?
It's I don't understand. It's black, green, and red. And I've seen that before, but I should have looked into what the meaning of that is.
Are you sure? I didn't hear this part. Are you sure they were there blocking the cops from arriving? Because, well, first of all, I don't know how five people could do that. But my question is, how were they mobilized so quickly? How would they find out that it happened? Because that dude was on foot. How would they know where the cops were being taken? You know what I mean? Like, unless they were very coordinated.
I only know from the story I heard. I just heard it on the radio driving into LAX. I don't know. I don't know how many people are. I guess there's an emergency room. I don't know. County USC or like whatever the local place is.
Well, even if there's one guy standing in the, you know, in front of your car, it's hard to move.
I don't know. You know, Maxipata can do his due diligence.
By the
we'll
way,
see if we can find
the green, red, and black flag is the Afro-American flag, Pan-African flag, also known as the Black Liberation flag. That's the one that the two guys had.
Oh, I remember that from the IHOP when I was growing up. Yeah, the placemats.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Let me hit. Let's see if you can find that story, Maxipata, or you guys can find it. I don't know how many people, but there was a group.
I did hear that there was a group chanting whatever it was, let them die, which is abhorrent, but I didn't know when they got there.
Evidently before. I mean, that's what I heard. All right. Cooler Shock, reusable premium ice pack, colder than ice by 14 degrees. Not too shabby, people. And cleaner. No bacteria-laden water left in your cooler. Made in the U.S. of A. Average 4.7 stars on Amazon. Over 6,800 reviews on Amazon. I use Cooler Shock. Drew has it. We all have it. It's great. You put it in the freezer. Don't deal with the ice. The ice melts. The ice makes a mess. And it's ready when you need it. Avoid the trip to the store during the quarantine. They got a variety of soft and hard packs. Even a 16-pound pack with a thermometer built in. Fishing, camping, hunting, long road trips, whatever you like it is. Or going to the farmer's market. So for the best pricing, go to CoolerShock.com. Use the coupon code ADAM for 10% off your order and free shipping. Or find them on Amazon, CoolerShock.com. All right, what else do we got? You find anything, Max Patter, or anybody?
I just emailed it to Chris. It just, you know, give him a second because I literally just sent it during the commercial.
Technology, man. We're sitting here in Maxipata's bed. He's got his computer and he's got his mixer and it's like
twin a bed.
Soundboard there. He's got the mics and the headphones. Like, you guys are back in L.A. I'm in Tennessee. Barely a glitch. I mean, got to stop and appreciate that. In the past, I used to travel. I'd go with Drew. We'd have to find the local affiliate, you know. And sometimes the local affiliate was like 30 miles away from where we were staying. We'd have to go there in the middle of the night, and a guy'd have to let us in, you know, and sit down and plug everything in. Like, we'd have to go find a building to do this, not Maxipata's mini suite up here.
Before I get to this, credit to Chris and Dawson and Kale and everyone who making this work.
Oh, yeah.
Great.
Thanks, guys.
So Chris just put on the screen from the L.A. County Sheriff's Twitter. To the protesters blocking the entrance and exit of the hospital emergency room, yelling, "We hope they die," referring to two L.A. sheriffs ambushed today in Compton, "Do not block emergency entries and exits to the hospital. People's lives are at stake when ambulances can't get through." And then I sent Chris a video.
I
don't want to split hairs, but are they're blocking the entrances and exits after the fact? They're already there. See what I'm saying? Like, they're in critical care or emergency room, whatever. That was my question. I don't know the answer.
I'm only saying what I heard, which is they were trying to block the exit, or the entrance, for these officers. That's the way I heard it. That's all I know.
I agreed.
You'd have to move. I mean, you'd have to be aware of this story, and then you'd have to hustle it on over to the emergency room. But that's the only version of it I heard.
Yeah, and then Gina sent me a tweet from someone saying, "I live in L.A., which there were all of 3 to 4 people, and they weren't shouting, 'Let them die.' It appears as though L.A. County Sheriff officers are blocking the entrance." And there's a video.
Yeah, here you go.
Kim will play.
Four or five guys. One with a giant, two with a flag. Yelling at the security guards.
By the way, if there's ever a better time to avoid sheriffs, it's right after two of their guys got shot in the face. I mean, Jesus Christ. All right. So, it's only a very small group of people. But the fact that one person showed up is a sad testament to where we're at today. All right, what else?
Yeah, it's a gross story either way. Let's not let that get buried.
Yes.
Yeah. So, Dancing with the Stars started, and Carol Baskin, who everyone's sort of intrigued with ever since the Tiger King docuseries came out, danced her little dance in a little tiger-themed performance. But that's not what's getting headlines today. Viewers of that docuseries know that Baskin has denied playing a role in her first husband, Jack, they call him Don Lewis, 1997, his disappearance and death. So the Lewis family, his ex-wife and grown daughters, made it clear that they aren't giving up on finding answers to what happened to him and if Carol was involved, thanks to a commercial that aired during the show's premiere. And apparently Carol was informed that this commercial was about to air minutes before she went to dance.
Oh, no.
So here is the commercial that the family ran. I'm just showing you the end with an attorney in the middle of Dancing with the Stars.
Don Lewis mysteriously disappeared in 1997. His family deserves answers. They deserve justice. Do you know who did this or if Carol Baskin was involved?
A $100,000 reward has been funded. You can call the tip line at 646-450-6530.
Or call our office at 800-LITIGATE. Thank you.
It's the best audio they come up with?
In the middle of their living room, the high ceilings.
Well, let's not bury the lead. How'd Johnny Weir look out there?
His odds are down at 225. You jumped on at the right time.
I jumped on at 4-1. How did it shake out? I got in at 1 a.m. I hit the ground running this morning. I really have no idea how it's panning out. Max Pata said he TiVo'd it, but he's not. I don't know if he's able to watch it or not.
Yet.
How'd Weir do? What scores did he get? Come on, Max Pata. Well, we've had 10 conversations about this. What'd Weir get? You get 10s? To get eight,
McLean must have done poorly because his odds have gone all the way up to 7.5 to 1, 750 plus 750.
Weir? Wait a minute.
Oh, that's AJ McLean.
Oh, yeah. Come on, Max. This is a long discussion.
Got real money
about
on this.
I got real money riding on this. Look, the guy's dead. He's dead. What's done is done. This is five large. I'm living for today. You understand? How do we even enter this news cycle without a breakdown of numbers? All right, I'll buy you a second, Max Pata. Let me hit LifeLock. Since the start of the pandemic, there's been a 300% increase in cybercrime. Hackers are getting more sophisticated, taking advantage of teleconference accounts as well. It's important to understand how cybercrime and identity theft are affecting our lives. Every day, we put our information at risk on the internet. Cyber criminals keep finding new ways to steal identities. You could miss certain threats if you're just monitoring your credit alone. LifeLock detects a wide range of identity threats, like your social security number, for sale on the dark web. If they detect the info, then they will let you know, and they'll send you an alert. And you deserve to know if they're stealing your info. It's 2000 and almost 21. Protect yourself with LifeLock, right, Dawson?
No one can prevent all identity theft or monitor all transactions at all businesses, but you can find out if your information is on the dark web. Get your free dark web scan at LifeLock.com/scan. Pick the plan that's right for you and save up to 25% off your first year with promo code Adam. That's a free scan at LifeLock.com/scan and 25% off with promo code Adam.
All right, Johnny Weir, it's got to be all over the place, right? Don't all the results have to be?
Yeah, the site's taking forever to load. I'm scrolling to it right now.
But
I got it right here.
Gina Grad and Bald Brian, there must be a who scored what last night list on the internet,
I have it.
Right?
Yeah,
okay,
yeah,
what
right
do we
here.
Got?
Johnny Weir, he danced the cha-cha to Buttons by the Pussycat Dolls, score of 18.
18?
Yeah, not the highest.
What? Oh. That six is all the way across.
Yeah.
What's the meaning of this?
And he's really dancing. They're not just pushing him around the stage.
They're doing the curve. They're doing the curve thing. They're taking points off. They're giving. Oh no! See, when I did it, it was like Christy Yamaguchi. You're awesome, Jeff Ross. You suck. What's wrong with you? And it's like, well, he's a comedian and she's a ice dancer.
Now you can't tell who the professional is.
Why do you get a six? Why do you get sixes? Oh, this does not bode well. Max Apata was worried about this. They're like, they're going to grade him on a curve because they know he's a pro.
But he looks like a pro. What's the problem?
Yeah, I was going to say.
The problem is, so I was, when I did Dancing with the Stars, I was completely prepared for them to go, you know, Christy Yamaguchi, that was awesome, but you've been doing this since you were five. I mean, and then Adam Carolla, that basically sucked, but you're a stand-up comedian, so we'll give you a little help, a little love. You know, we'll grade it on a little bit of a curve. We'll make it a little bit. They were like, Christy, you are awesome. Tens all the way down. Carolla, that sucked. You get fours. Like that was it. Like, and I remember being like a little bit confused. Like they'd go, your merengue is like weak, dude. And I'm like, I'm from North Hollywood. I work construction. I never even know what this is. I don't know what this is. Like, I thought I was going to get a little something. They didn't do any kind of curve. I just saw Weir dance quite nicely. And if he got 18, then they're working a curve in because I got sixes and I sucked.
Yeah, he tied AJ McLean from the Backstreet Boys and also tied Ann Haish.
Yeah. Worried?
What?
We're worried on the drive-in about Nelly. All worried about Nelly.
We were in the car talking about Nelly. He got a 16, but I did see a clip of his. He did the backflip, which he pulled the backflip out
too early.
Right, way too early.
Did he
dance
to his own song?
Yeah, he did. He did also dance to his own song.
Baller move.
I'm like a bird, I only fly away. I love that dude. I don't know where my home is. I don't know where my nest is. But I love that guy. Yeah. That guy's awesome, man. I like Canadians in general. Yeah, I'm like a bird. I do a little backflip. I don't know where my home is. Yeah, man. I'm digging that, Nelly.
The high scores of the night. Nev Schulman from Catfish. He did Foxtrot to The Way You Look Tonight. Neve Schulman, excuse me. He got a 20.
Fucking racist.
So did Caitlin Bristow, who was a guest recently when we were here in Nashville. She got a 20. And Sky Jackson got a 21.
Sky Jackson. He's
or Skay Jackson.
The world's best stunt pilot.
It's a girl.
I can't. You never heard of Sky Jackson winning those Red Bull competitions?
I had the action
threading
figure,
the needle.
Yeah.
The day he showed up at flight school, like, son, you were born to do this.
Sky Jackson, you're with Maverick and Iceman. Now get going.
Sky Jackson in the world of tomorrow.
All right, so something's going. Oh, this is interesting, because when I did it, they would give out a 10. If you kicked ass, you got a 10. So somebody, all right, here's what's going on. All right, so this helps a little with my Johnny Weir business, because 18... When I did it, I got 18, right? So it's like 18, somebody, okay, so the decree must have been stop giving perfect 10s to everyone all along the way. It's going to ruin it for the finale, I guess. So sure. So by the time Christy Yamaguchi got to the finale, she'd done 11 dances and they'd all got 10s straight on through. And I guess they're trying to stop doing that now, so they're... If the highest score is 21, that's weird, because when I did it, sevens were kind of, there were sevens. Like, it was fine. You know, C minus, B plus, you know what I mean? And eight was, you know, nine was, and 10 was 10. So if the highest is a seven, then they're doing the whole thing on a curve.
Yeah, and anyway. Disney star Justina Machado also got a 21.
And 21 is as high
as
we
have.
Yeah. All right, but I still think Weir looks like he's got the right stuff, right?
Yeah, oh, it's not so. Him. It's not. He doesn't have the problem.
All right. Let me hit Geico, and then we'll roll into the sports. I'm like a bird. I love that Nelly dude. Geico, right now, Geico's offering an extra 15% credit on car, motorcycle, and RV policies. That's up to 15% on top of the money Geico could already be saving you. So what are you waiting for, man? Get with Geico. Save all that do-re-mi. Never been a better time to switch Geico. Save an extra 15% when you switch by October 7th. That's geico.com. Geico.com. All right, we'll take a quick break. We'll come back with Cesario and do the sports right after this.
It's time to break down the game film and look at the X's and O's, the KOs and the O-Nos from the world of sports. BetOnline presents All Balls, All Sports.
Oh, brother, Chet Waterhouse with the BetOnline mini update sponsored by Beige, the color with no holiday baggage. NFL, Giants get pummeled by the Steelers like a drunk vegan at a Ruth's Chris. NBA, league says the 2020-2021 season won't start till after Christmas, which will give the league a solid 72 hours to steam clean the bubble. And finally, this just in, each corner for the fight between 54-year-old Mike Tyson and 51-year-old Roy Jones Jr. will be allowed a trainer and a cut man and a urologist. This mini update sponsored by Medieval Knievel, the jousting daredevil. Over to you, Jeff. All right, let's dive right in. Surfing. Yeah, you heard me. Surfing. Maya Gabera smashes her own world record by riding a 73.5-foot wave. She's a Brazilian big wave surfer. This was at Nazaré in Portugal. And apparently there's some sort of deep sea canyon that helps generate these like insane waves. And she broke her own. It's amazing. I believe we have the footage. I don't know if we have the ability. Here you go. Watch this. This is ludicrous.
It is insane.
I would rather jump out of a plane 10 times than do this one time ever.
It's
that can be arranged.
It's crazy. Did she make
but that's
it?
That's the thing. There's nothing scarier than seeing that.
So, by the way, in terms of description and what happened, like when the wave closes out and comes down on you, it's, by the way, these descriptions are always the exact same. It's like, oh, it's like a million gallons of water landing on you. And then you just get thrown around like a rag doll. And you don't know which way up is. And then you see the light. It's like everyone has these crazy stories. And I think, and I don't know, like it's kind of curious what the old time big wavers do, because the new wave guys get pulled in with the Sea-Doos. And they can get rescued with the Sea-Doos, because if you don't get rescued, you're just out there in the middle of that swell and you'll just get destroyed. So I don't know if they think of being pulled in, like towed in, if that's cheating, like when the old school guys would just have to be out there just waiting on their longboards with no protective, you know, they got boats and Sea-Doos and all that kind of stuff, but it's still insane. And it's insane that we shot right past 50 feet and we're now at 70 something feet.
75.
And we're going for 100. I don't know. What's the record? 90?
Isn't the men's record 80 and the woman's is 75?
And then
she broke her own record.
Yeah. Right.
She broke her own, so she already broke it. Yeah.
Well, she broke her own women's record, but did she break the record? And then also, how do they measure them? You know what I mean? Like, is there
they have to go to a I want to say USC. Somebody here does it. One of the universities here measures it.
Mm-hmm.
They have the Pepperdine, right? Aren't they the
waves? They're the waves. Yeah.
They have some way of measuring it. All that information comes out here.
Oh, really?
Towed out by a Sea-Doo, driven by a Portuguese kid making $1 a month. I'm not sure.
God, what's
that whole process?
What's more dangerous and less thankless, the Sea-Doo rescue guy or the rodeo clown? Because they're both insanely dangerous and both really don't get a ton of credit.
The rodeo clown, because the clown is in the name. You're already being belittled.
If two dudes were at a bar and one said, "Oh, I tow out the guy that does the 80-foot wave," I'd be like, "Really?" Mm-hmm. And if the guy was like, "I have run around with big pants and seltzer," and everybody points at me and then I get gored, I'd be like, "Well, good luck to you. I think I hear my pies burning. I gotta go."
But the guy,
don't underestimate the guy who loads the skeet. That's not an easy job.
Speaking of Gina's pie burning, so that means you do like the guy when your pie's really burning.
Yeah, I got to go home and take it.
Oh, that pie. Okay.
Glove.
I thought you meant the travel underpants pie. I didn't know you meant the stuff in the oven.
No, not the
box. That item sponsored by Gunga Dan's for really mild Indian food. Try Gunga Dan's. What do we got for the don't we got Bet Online? We got odds coming up here, don't we?
Oh, yeah. Well, I'll tell you about Bet Online. We got football. Football is back, man. You might not be aware of it, but I'm telling you now, man, it is up and running. Go to BetOnline, get in on some of these games. Sunday's coming up. We got Falcons at Cowboys. I think the Cowboys are coming back in that game. I think they had a bad call. They're a decent team, and I think they're going to bounce back nice. Bills, Dolphins, Rams, Eagles, Vikings, Colts, Panthers, Buccaneers, Patriots, Seahawks. That's going to be a good one. More options to wager in any other place online, from spreads and totals and props. It's all there at BetOnline. And you can get in on season opening bonuses and wager on wins or division championship futures. Head to BetOnline. Do it today. Take advantage of all the great sign-up bonuses at BetOnline. That's betonline.ag, your exclusive partner, Podcast One. And don't forget, use the promo code PODCAST1 for that free sign up bonus today. All right, what else we got?
Yeah, well, here's the hot bet on the Bet Online. You got Thursday Night Football. This is very interesting. Number one pick versus number one pick. Joe Burrow, number one draft choice, the Cincinnati Bengals, versus Baker Mayfield, Cleveland Browns, number one draft pick a couple years ago. Browns favored by 6 points versus the Bengals, and the money line on the Browns is -250. So you got to bet 250 to make 100. And I don't know. The Browns looked horrible against.
I agree.
Against the
I feel
Ravens.
Like the Bengals were doing pretty good. Joe Burrow's looked pretty good. They were leading, I think, a lot of the game. Browns looked bad to me. Take the money line and take the Bengals. Right? There's not a lot of home. Yeah. Crowd home team advantage anymore with, you know, no one in the stands. I just feel like the Bengals, I feel like, would win that game outright. And Burrow's, that kid's tough. He had a good, tough run. He scored on a 15-yard scamper, 12-yard scamper. He looked good. He's also like one of those guys that one of the main things you want is these guys who not only compete, but they like compete with themselves. Like, he got out there, he did a press conference. He's like, "I give myself a D." That was not a good outing. Like, he didn't get up there and go, "There's some bad calls by the refs and coaches were making calls or drop balls or anything. You just go, I give myself a D. I didn't play well. I'm coming back. I like that. I feel like that's a Tom Brady-esque mentality. Oh, yeah. And that's what, because you hear all these guys, they all have the gifts. They all have the physical ability. They're all phenoms. It's that one little part where they kind of internalize and want to come back. And yeah, I think that kid's got it. So yeah, I like the Bengals in that game.
Coachable. That's coachable. What I say about that kid. Besides, right. You lose to Cincinnati, it's like losing to a libertarian in a big election. You know, it's like, oh God, I'm just going home.
I just
have to go home. Yeah, exactly. So that's your line. That's your Bet Online line for the week. You guys dissected the Dancing with the Stars. I do like the fact that Charles Oakley is plus 10,000 to win it all, which maybe that's a bet.
So, he
got the second lowest score of the night. Carol Baskin got 11. Charles Oakley got 12.
Wow, man.
They earned every bit of it.
They have recalibrated, man. they're being tough. You was almost impossible to get anything below a 5, like when I did it, and they've obviously coached him up. So now who's all? Is Johnny Weir's still the favorite? Where's Furtado? Right, yes. What are we talking about? So what are the power rankings? Do you have any there? Have them there, Jeff or Brian or
Weir's at plus 225. Caitlin Bristow's at plus 300. Sky Jackson plus 500 and AJ McLean tumbling a little bit to plus 750. But that's a pretty packed. If they were coming down the stretch in the Kentucky Derby, it's still anybody's race.
Yeah, we always, my take on it was AJ was bumped up because he's in a boy band, and that didn't have as much to do with this as we thought it would. He was, for a moment, remember, he was the favorite at the very beginning.
Yeah.
I think it was 450 to 4 versus Weir's 450. But anyway, what else you got, Chet or Jeff or whatever your name is?
You know, talk about the technology and the incredible reach of social media. The internet went crazy when NBA fans found out that Giannis Antetokounmpo, Milwaukee Bucks MVP, had unfollowed all of his Bucks teammates and the organization.
Uh-oh.
This after saying publicly, because he's going to be a free agent in like a year, he said, love Milwaukee, I'm coming back. Then he cancels all the Bucks. And, you know, I'm from Wisconsin. Love Milwaukee, I'm already smelling foul. You know, nobody loves Milwaukee. You know,
Wait a minute. How about the big ragu of Laverne and Shirley? I'd say that little paisan loved Milwaukee. I'm going to talk to John. Is it Giannis? I'm going to talk to him. I'm going to look. Giannis, look. You're going to leave the home of the big ragu, Laverne and Shirley, Mr. DeFazio? Really, Shamazel? Is that's the place you want to live? You want to leave the place that has the Fonzie, the 1/22nd scale Fonzie statue in the courtyard over there? The
actual size.
And when I think I talk to him about the big ragu, I think it's going to kind of come. I think it's going to he's going to turn the corner.
He'll snap out of it.
Mm-hmm.
So clearly, sort of negotiating through social media and flexing and signaling without really doing anything legally, any sort of moves. Which is now a tool by which smart athletes are negotiating, and it's kind of impressive in a way. I mean, because the Bucks came back like immediately and said, "We will spend everything to build around you." Now, I don't know what everything means. I don't know if they've got a pipeline to Harley Davidson money in Milwaukee. I have no idea. But this all happened 45 years ago with Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. So, you know, they're reliving it. Hopefully they can actually pull it off. I'd like to see small market teams retain some of these big stars and maintain the competitive quality of the NBA, or it's just going to turn into Major League Baseball where there's three teams at the top and nobody cares.
Yeah, Kareem was a buck back in the day. Well, I've said it once, I'll say it again. Nobody knows how to manipulate social media like the Greeks. I'm sorry. It's been
said many times.
I know it sounds like an old.
Here it is again.
It's an old trope, but it deserves to be. This is why it's an old trope. This is why.
That item sponsored by Motorboats, the restaurant that's just a little more fun than Hooters. you've got the Tennessee Titans, Steven Gostkowski, their place kicker, missed 3 field goals and an extra point before hitting a meager 25-yard game winner, after which he was absolutely mobbed by his teammates. I didn't think an entire squad, especially Tennessee, was capable of that level of sarcasm, but they must have got together and pulled it off. He hits a 25-yarder, which honestly, if any of the four of us had a gun to our heads, we could probably make a pretty good shot at a 25-yarder. And of course, Gostkowski standing there just like, please don't. What are you doing? Don't do this. This is like getting thanked for burning the barbecue, but you wash the dishes well.
It is. So, you're soaking in it, Madge. I feel that it's weird. It's that kind of thing where it's like when the guy misses the free throw and everyone has to do the hand touch thing. Like, he just missed the free throw. We don't need to do the fist bump. Like, we got it. I mean, first off, we're capable of expressing emotions with our eyes, right? Can't you just look at the guy in the free throw stripe who missed it and go, sorry, man. Like, I know you're trying to make free throws and you're at 63%. So X amount of them are going to clank out. But it is weird because he felt weird because he'd lost the game through 3.5 quarters through missing extra points and field goals, maybe an extra point. I can't remember, but
one extra point, three field goals.
And then when he makes
missed
it,
everything.
And then of course it'd be great if he made a 54 yarder at the end, but he made an extra point length field goal at the end. And then everyone had to come up to him and he was like, I realized I shit the bed today. Like, it was weird. I felt weirdly bad.
But is it a contract ploy by the other guys who are, I'm sure, constantly being pressured to be team players? This is a team game. Support your teammates so that then, their agents can go at contract time and go, look, he ran right out and patted the field goal kicker right on the ass after he shit the bed.
I don't know, but I have a Bill Maher-esque new rule here, which is if you're a DB and the guy drops the touchdown, you're not allowed to do the big hand wave off thing, signaling to the crowd that that's a drop. Like, that guy was open. He dropped the ball. He burned you or your teammate. And he did, in fact, drop the ball. But that's not because you did your job skillfully. And you don't get to do the big hand wave. And when the guy misses the 23-yard chip shot field goal, you're not allowed to do the big wave-off thing. Junior college kickers hit that in the 96th percentile. You didn't get a finger on it. That had nothing to do with you. That's just that guy just shit the bed. You're not allowed to celebrate because that guy's going to be cut on Monday. Or Tuesday.
This is where football needs a yellow card. Yes. That should be a warning.
And when does that
excessive idiocy?
Do you cut? I mean, when a guy misses three field goals in a game and an extra point or two, do you miss three in an extra point? Is that
you missed three field goals and I think one extra?
That's right.
Do you cut him at that point?
You'd be within your rights.
Definitely
that might have been
your
a
going
away party at the 25 yard.
I'm kind of saying because. Kickers sometimes become like boxers who take a bad knockout, like a bad beating. Like, they're not psychologically right. Mm-hmm. Like, when a fighter really takes a beating and a bad knockout, sometimes they don't come back. It's like it's in them. You know what I mean? Like, last time this happened to me. Like, I don't know. I mean, he's a seasoned vet. Who the hell knows? But all right, let's bring it home, Jeff.
You got it. This is Chet Waterhouse for all balls, all sports, reminding you to play with pain.
All balls, all sports. Presented by Bet Online, your online sportsbook expert.
All right. Let's see. You can go to, I think, Tempe Improv going to be there this weekend. We'll be doing some live stand up there and some live pods there as well. John Holmberg's going to be there on the 18th for the live pod, and then Rob Schneider will be there on the 19th. Salt Lake City, Wise Guys, coming up October 2nd and 3rd. And we're doing a live Reasonable Doubt there, like a matinee show. I think it's at 4 o'clock, as I recall, on Saturday, if Gary told me. Right, so enjoy that. Live shows all over the place. Go to amcurl.com for everything you need and the book, Your Emotional Support Animal. As well, and thanks to Max Pata for letting me use his room. Until next time, it's Adam Kroll for Paul Bryan, Gina Grant, and Jeff Cesario saying mahalo.
Follow the Adam Carolla Show on Twitter at Adam Carolla Show. Follow us on Twitter at Adam Carolla. You can leave us a voicemail at 888-634-1744. Pick up Adam's new book, I'm Your Emotional Support Animal. It's available now. Get all the links at adamcarolla.com.